Gummer Jubba Gardner's Bay. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our sunny, beautiful Amagansett, Long Island studios. They're makeshifting as we speak. Today is Thursday, the 8th of August, 2013. On this date in 1220, Sweden is defeated by the Estonians in the Battle of Lihula. 1968, Nixon and Agnew received the Republican Party nomination. 1974, 6 long years later, Nixon resigns. And, of course, today is the 5th anniversary of the beginning of the August 2008 war, although when it exactly began is sort of under question, but everybody decided it was the 8th of August. By the way, thanks to FieldPod.com's own Santa Monica Bureau Chief, there's a very interesting survey on Russian attitudes towards Georgia that we're bringing to you on our forum. Attitudes seem to be a little bit kinder recently, so check that out. Birthdays today are Emilio Zapata, Esther Williams, Dustin Hoffman, and Roger Federer. Today, it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again to those posting on our forum, including one listener who corrected that the Aslan Abashidze who returned to Batumi 2 weeks ago was not the Aslan Abashidze, but just some Aslan Abashidze. Which Aslan Abashidze, I'm not really sure. Thank you very much for the correction. I had thought that there wasn't as much discussion about Aslan Abashidze showing up as there should have been. Anyway, Aslan Abashidze in Ajada is kind of like, I don't know, Michael Smith in the English-speaking world. So to comment or ask for an opinion or whatever, follow us on the topic, go to tepeelpod.com or send us something at tepeelpod@gmail.com. Just so you know, we've been putting up FieldPod posters at hostels. Any of you hostel stayers, send us an email at tepeelpod@gmail.com if you've seen any of them. Please let us know the name of the hostel you stayed in and any thoughts about Georgia. No Georgian Journal and Creedy's Politra column this week because they are on August holiday. On the 30th of July, Samegrelo Regional Ex-Governor Tengiz Gunava was released after Misha pardoned him. According to Misha's statement, quote, "Those suspected of violating human rights, torture, beatings, and other grave crimes will never be granted a presidential pardon, no matter which political team they represent. Idealists who were building the Georgian state and are being punished just because they worked to get Georgia on its feet will be pardoned," end quote. In November 2012, Gunava was arrested for illegally possessing drugs and weapons, but then was released on bail. Later that same month, Gunava was again arrested and charged with embezzling 3,000 liters of gasoline and 50,000 lari, as well as abusing official power. On the 12th of July, the Tbilisi City Court found Gunava guilty of embezzlement and sentenced him to 4 years in prison. On the 2nd of August, after pardoning him, Misha reinstated Gunava as the governor of Samegrelo, Zemos Faneti. Parliamentary Chairman Dato Usupashvili responded to Misha's decision and stated that the president will do everything to spoil everything as much as possible for the remaining months of his term. Gunava, you know, like a lot of the national movement people serving in Samegrelo, was a bit of a jerk. However, he was completely framed and set up in that drug possession thing in November of 2012. I don't know, complicated issue. On the 1st of August, Tbilisi City Court acquitted former Defense and Interior Minister Bacho Akhalaya of one of the charges against him, exceeding official power, illegal confinement, and torture. Georgi Kalandadze, former chief of the Joint Army Staff, and 6 more defense and penitentiary officers charged along with Akhalaya have been acquitted on the same charge. Bacho remains in detention on 2 remaining charges. One, the alleged mistreatment of 7 Special Task Force servicemen in August 2012. The other is an abuse of power charge for beating up several inmates in March 2006, which led to a riot in a Tbilisi prison that resulted in the death of 7 prisoners. After being found not guilty of the charge, Bacho posted on his Facebook page, quote, "My return to Georgia was an answer to all of society's questions about my guilt, and to not allow anyone to question the reputation of the Georgian army," end quote. The same day Kalandadze was released from prison, Misha met him at the presidential palace and congratulated him on his acquittal. Michel referred to him as a patriot and stated that he had no doubt he was innocent. Presidential candidate and leader of the Democratic movement, Nino Bourgenadze, was not satisfied with the verdict. She told journalists that, quote, Achalai's verdict is another confirmation of the government's weakness, end quote. Kahi Kaladze, the energy minister, commented on and said that, quote, Achalai may not have participated in torture, but he was one of the ideologists of the system, end quote. Prosecutor's office will appeal the decision of the Tbilisi City Court on Bacha within a month. On the 4th of August, in an interview with an English-language TV station, Russia Today, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev discussed Georgia's current government, the August War, and restoring relations between the two countries. He praised Bidzina for his courage in saying that Misha was guilty of starting the war. Medvedev affirmed Russia's decision to recognize Abkhazia and South Ossetia's independence, but said that the peoples of Georgia, Abkhazia, and South Ossetia would themselves decide how to develop their relations. Medvedev commented that there is no return to the past, but the saddest page in bilateral relations has become history and will fade away gradually. The U.S. ambassador to Georgia, Richard Norland, commented on the interview by saying, quote, conquering of sovereign territory can never be justified, but everyone acknowledges that all sides made mistakes, end quote. On the 6th of August, Rustav Yori aired an exclusive interview with Medvedev where he confirmed that Russia is not going to review its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Medvedev commented on Georgia's membership in NATO by saying that it is not welcome. He noted that, quote, Georgia should be interested in joining the Eurasia Union, end quote, since that's been such a wonderful thing for all its members. With respect to the installation of barbed wire near the South Ossetian administrative boundary line, Medvedev claimed that this was an initiative of the South Ossetian government and the Kremlin had no role in it, since we all know the Kremlin has no role in the administration of South Ossetia. On the 7th of August, Rustav Yori aired Misha's exclusive interview about the war. Misha said he was not prepared for the war, but Russia was because they had planned in advance. For those of you who don't remember, the 58th Army was gunning its engines along the border, right north of the Caucasus by the Roki Tunnel for about a month in advance doing alleged military exercises. Misha called Medvedev's interview with Rustav Yori a clear message from Moscow that Georgia should reconcile with losing Abkhazia and South Ossetia, reject NATO integration, and become a member of the European Union. According to Misha, in early 2008, he offered a number of serious concessions to Putin, including not attempting to join NATO in exchange for Russia's not escalating the conflict. In June 2008, Misha claims to have offered Russia a plan which would have divided Abkhazia with Gali and Ochamchida districts under Tbilisi control and the areas to the north of Ochamchida, including the capital, Sukhumi, under de facto Russian control. Misha noted that there was a lack of reaction from the West to Russia's provocations. Certainly, Alassania had been saying that he had told people that he had a deal in May of 2008 that would involve Georgia signing a non-aggression agreement in exchange for pretty good stuff. Not a division or a partition, but some movement that would have cut Russia out a little bit and led to direct Abkhaz and Georgia negotiations. That was when Bagapsh was around. In an interview with the Russian publication Kavkazskaya Politika, the Patriarch Ilya II referred to Stalin as one of the world's rare and distinguished people. The Patriarch told the paper, quote, when Stalin died, I was a student at the theological seminary. We all stood in the hall and cried when he was being buried. Stalin is a distinguished figure. People like him are rarely born. He understood the importance, the global importance, of Russia. End quote. Sovlab, a research group that investigates the Soviet Union's totalitarian past, called the statement unacceptable. They released an official statement, quote, the Patriarch's statement is a falsification of historical facts. Any attempt to rehabilitate the name of Stalin is disrespectful and humiliating to millions of oppressed people and their descendants, It is impossible to establish in Georgia democratic and people-oriented society if we do not rethink properly and free ourselves from the Soviet totalitarian past, end quote. According to Lasha Bakradze, the literature museum boss and one of the founders of Sovlab, the Georgian church promotes pro-Russian propaganda. Sovlab's full statement is on the Tpiopod.com forum. This statement by Ilya II was just hair-raising. On the 5th of August, the Georgian think tank GRASS launched a new platform called factcheck.ge, which aims to promote the factual accuracy of politician statements, especially economics-related statements. Former Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Sergei Kapanadze is at the helm. The best part seems to be that it is largely unbiased if you check it out, their targets and what they say about them. The webpage, again, is factcheck.ge. On the 2nd of August, Kobad Davitashvili left the Georgian Dream Coalition and announced that he was going to run for president because of deep disagreements with the majority. Davitashvili said the not guilty verdict of Bacha was the last straw. He told journalists, quote, "The government members said that the not guilty verdict of Bacha Akhalai and his accomplices is proof of the court's independence and a celebration of democracy. That is not a celebration of democracy. That is a direct result of the government's poor policy of cohabitation and the unreasonable concessions with regards to the law on general courts. According to him, the verdict will be followed by the acquittal of Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili. The leader of the parliamentary majority, Dato Saganalidze, made a statement with regards to Davitashvili's leaving the coalition. He said it was not unexpected because Davitashvili often had different opinions from the coalition. Dato Tsubashvili, chairman of parliament, said nothing is new about Kobad Davitashvili's decision. Using a soccer metaphor, quote, he will always be a wandering forward in Georgian politics. Yesterday, on the 7th of August, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs released a statement about the 5th anniversary of the August War. The statement notes, quote, the Russian armed forces still continue to occupy 20% of Georgian territory, end quote. Despite this, Georgia continues its European and Euro-Atlantic integration. On the 7th of August, a parliamentary session began with a minute of silence for the victims of the war. Today, the 8th of August, Bidzina and Georgian Dream presidential candidate Gheorghe Margvelashvili, along with other government members, laid a wreath at the Mukhad Gverdi Cemetery in honor of the soldiers who died. Ivanishvili left the cemetery without making any comments. Also on the 8th of August, Georgian students held a protest rally in Tbilisi at Hero Square in protest of the Russian occupation of Georgian territory. They hung a large banner from the building above the Hero Square, which read, Russia Occupant. Another protest rally against Russian occupation was held by young IDPs in Gori. The rally slogan was, I remember my house, my village, please do not forget. On the 7th of August, MPs from Georgian Dream met with ministers of economy, finance, and regional development in a closed meeting. Afterwards, parliamentary chairman Dato Tsubashvili said MPs heard reports that there will be new investments in Georgia. The minister of economy, Gheorghe Kvitikashvili, said the economy is not in crisis. A few days ago, Geostat published figures which showed that GDP growth in June was negative at 0.8%. In the second quarter of 2013, the average growth for the first 6 months of the year was 1.8%. Last year, the growth rate was 6.1% for the full year. The report was followed by criticism from UNM. Geostat has published data on the number of criminal cases in Georgia, which conflicts with the assessment of the Interior Ministry. According to Geostat, the numbers of criminal prosecutions in the first 7 months of the year is double that of last year. In contrast, according to the Interior Ministry, the number of criminal cases in 2013 has been reduced by over 4,000. The Interior Ministry's data is based on registered crimes, while Geostat's methodology collects data from the Interior Ministry, the Prosecutor's Office, and the courts. On the 1st of August, the Tbilisi City Court acquitted Tamaz Bichinashvili, one of the priests accused of anti-gay violence. The court ruled that there was not enough evidence to prove his guilt. He was accused of illegally interrupting the 17th of May demonstrations with violence and threats. The trial of the other suspects, the priest Irakli Basalaya, and three civilians, will start on the 15th of August. A according to the Synodal Information Department of the Russian Orthodox Church, in Moscow, the Patriarch has refused to allow Abkhazians to address the issue of autocephaly, which would make the Abkhazian Church separate from, rather than subordinate to, the Georgian Orthodox Church. Misha released a statement on his Facebook page in which he calls for the renewal of UNN. He congratulated Dr. Bagradze on his victory in the primary and expressed his support for him. According to Misha, the current developments in Georgia are an attempt by the old corrupt elite to take revenge for the Rose Revolution. According to him, the process of renewal of the national movement has already started. He proposes UNM have a Congress in September, the details of which are not yet known. What's interesting was the public statement where he makes recommendations about the UNM, which shows just how distant he is from not just the day-to-day management, but the overall strategy of the UNM. On the 31st of July, the Georgian Parliament adopted a bill which will allow Georgia to import coal-fired power plant fly ash. According to some, importing this ash could cause serious ecological problems. Energy Minister Kaladze commented that the ash, which will be imported, is up to European standards and is not detrimental to health. Irakli Machadashvili, the coordinator of Green Alternatives, says that the bill was adopted for the interests of one company, which is trying to build power plants in Ajada. Kaladze explained that the draft law was prepared at the request of the Turkish company Ajada Energy 2007, and they suggested Georgia import the ash to build power plants in the Çorohi River. Apparently, the Çorohi River is not an ideal location for a power plant because it's full of some sort of waste that would damage the plant. However, according to Kaladze, if this ash is mixed in with the other building materials, the power plant will not be destroyed by the river. The import of the ash was allowed before in Georgia, but the law was changed, allegedly by the initiative of Heidelberg Cement. Kaladze said that it was the interest of only one company to not import the ash into Georgia. We'll try and follow up on this story and figure out what's going on. Justice Minister Teodosia Lukiani will chair an interagency commission that will be in charge of investigating violations during the electoral campaign. A recent legislative amendment moved the interagency task force for free and fair elections from the National Security Council's jurisdiction to the Ministry of Justice. Locals in Bolnisi demand the resignation of the head of the local government, Levan Palavandashvili, because he is not fulfilling his duties and instead is spending his time going to funerals and weddings. 22 members of the Bolnisi Council also demanded the resignation of the head of the local government for this reason. People call him Kelecha, which means funeral meal in Georgian. On the 5th of August, the NGO Zestaponi Public Council held a rally against the former Minister of Economy, Kacha Bendukidze, in Zestaponi. They protested the sale of wine bottles from a historic wine cellar in the village of Sakari. Wine bottles dated from as early as 2005 and 2011. Prime Minister Nika Gilaudi gave the wine cellar to the Agrarian University, which is owned by Bendukidze, at a price tag of 19 tetri per wine bottle, while they allege the actual price of each is between 1,000 and 3,000 lari, which I doubt. But I also doubt that 19 tetri is probably a little low. On the 3rd of August, members of the Georgian Dream, based in Rustavi, protested outside the head office in Tbilisi against the hiring of new members at the Rustavi branch of the Georgian Dream. According to them, those planned to be appointed to senior positions in Rustavi are former UNM members. Mm-hmm. After Ali Babayev, a member of the political council of the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia, spoke to the protesters, he told journalists that the protesters are not obeying party regulations and the discussion of their dismissal is already scheduled. Following up on last week's story about hunger strikes at various prisons, on the 1st of August, the prison ministry stated that the inmates who began a hunger strike last week at prison number 15 in Kisani and in prison number 17 in Rustavi have ended their strike. On the 7th of August, 45 inmates declared a hunger strike at the No. 5 Women's Penitentiary Facility in Gardabani. They want the facility director, Salome Janelidze and her assistant Ino Maisuradze reinstated to their posts, although Subadi, the minister, said that they had just been shuffled around. The inmates demanded the strike. The inmates say that the strike will continue with more hunger strikes if their demands are not met. On the 5th of August, more than 1,000 prisoners demanded that Minister Teotihuacan Lukiani remove an article from the criminal code pertaining to thieves in law. According to the current legislation, being a thief in law is punishable by imprisonment for the term of 7 to 10 years, with or without a fine. According to Tsulukiani's statement, being a thief in law is a crime and must remain so. 2 days ago, on the 6th of August, Transparency International Georgia, the hardest working NGO in Georgia, called the Georgian Dream presidential candidate Georgi Margvelashvili not to use administrative resources in the pre-election period. Margvelashvili attended events held by state agencies. According to TI, a candidate's presence at such events violates several laws. It breaches the amendment, the election code already adopted by Parliament. That agitation at an event financed by the state government is to be qualified as utilization of administrative resources. On the 3rd of August, Azerbaijan released a list of 335 persona non grata, which includes the Georgian writer Datu Turashvili and Beso Kvedelidze. The Azerbaijani foreign minister claims the two disrespected the territorial integrity of Azerbaijan by traveling to the Nagorno-Karabakh region. A limestone formation was partly destroyed along the road to Kazbegi during repair work on a tunnel. Environmentalists say that it takes centuries to form a 1 centimeter layer of this kind of limestone. The rock formation doesn't have a natural heritage status yet. The previous parliament failed to pass a draft law to protect it. Goga Khachidze, the former minister of environment, said that there were some problems that led to this rock formation not being given a natural heritage status, but it doesn't grant anyone the right to go there and destroy it. Goga Khachidze does not have with great authority on this matter, since he was such a useless minister at the time that he served. However, for those who have driven to Kazbegi and have seen that limestone formation with the water coming down, it is quite impressive, and it's too bad it's been damaged. It certainly should be protected. Following up on last week's discussion of virginity certificates, Zakaria Kutsunashvili and his haircut, a Georgian Dream MP from Tianeti, commented that, quote, virginity certificates can only be issued by a husband, since he is the only person who can issue such a certificate. If he is interested in doing it with lawyers and experts, we can't do anything about that. So we should not take this issue too seriously, and we should talk with our spouses, end quote. Thank you, Zakro. According to an article in the Financial, the Georgian government has reduced its budgetary expenditures on the country's tourism advertising campaign. The Georgian National Tourism Administration will not promote Georgia via CNN, BBC, and other leading international TV channels anymore. Instead, TV commercials for Georgia's advertising campaign will be focused on online advertising, billboards, and banners. Georgi Sigua, the new head of the Georgian National Tourism Administration, said, according to my information, $24 million was spent on advertisements on CNN. The previous TV campaign was quite simply a waste of money. The annual budget for the year 2013 is $6.5 million. The amount that will be spent on the marketing campaign is $3.5 million. The amount that will be spent on the campaign outside of the country is $1 million. According to the Agriculture Minister, Shalva Pipia, 379 cases of the sale of expired goods have been revealed in the last 6 months. Pipia said that the Food Safety Agency has removed 55,000 kilos of solid food, 800 liters of liquid food, 12,000 kilos of meat and meat products, more than 300,000 eggs, and 2,500 tons of diseased potatoes from the market. Recently, a demographic foundation was created to help solve the demographic problems in Georgia. Now, the demographic problems, it cracks me up when people use that term. Natia Punjakidze, the wife of Defense Minister Irakli Alassania, wants the foundation to open clubs where Georgian singles can match up. Before the idea is implemented, Natia wants to start being a matchmaker herself. She posted on her Facebook page that she's looking for a woman who wants to get married to a 50-year-old man. She was planning to help other singles as well. So that's what we mean by the demographic problem. Starting this week, Fly Georgia plans to begin flights to Yerevan 6 days a week. They will also supposedly start direct flights to Kuwait. In Parliament, following up on the moratorium on House floor foreclosures, which came out of the Human Rights Committee, Eka Basilia's committee, and passed a first reading without anybody knowing anything about it, it was fairly quickly shelved when Bidzina criticized it. According to Usupashvili, a package of bills addressing this issue will be discussed in September. Parliament adopted amendments to increase public financing for political parties. There will be a one-time 150,000 lari payment from the state budget for a total of 7 non-parliamentary opposition parties. A total of 6.1 million lari is already allocated this year for 14 political parties which are eligible for state funding. Of this amount, 2.2 million lari goes to 6 parties united in the Georgian Dream Coalition and 2 million lari to UNM. The parliament has initiated changes to balance the president and prime minister's power by reducing the powers of the prime minister, whose powers are set to expand hugely after the presidential election in October. According to the draft law, if parliament does not pass a budget within 2 months after the beginning of the new budget year, this will be considered a declaration of mistrust towards the government, and if Parliament isn't able to form a new government, the President will dismiss Parliament and announce a new election. The government presents a budget draft 3 months before the end of the budget year, and if Parliament isn't able to pass it before the end of the year, expenses will be covered as defined in the previous year's budget. Another regulation is that a Georgian citizen who has dual citizenship can become president, prime minister, or speaker of parliament. Currently, dual citizens cannot hold those posts, but are allowed to become members of parliament or ministers. The geocapital number this week is 48, which is the percentage of Russians that say they have a positive attitude towards Georgia, according to the poll by Levada Center, a Russian polling agency. Compared to the same question by the same surveyors last July, there was a slight increase, and there was a 32% increase from the same poll done in September 2008. The number was 42% in July 2006, 2 years prior to the August 2008 war. In a public opinion poll conducted by NDI and implemented by CRC, 37% of respondents believe that Russia is, quote, a real and existing threat to Georgia, end quote. This is an 11% point jump since the same poll in March 2013. The number of those who believe that this threat is exaggerated decreased from 42% in March to 34% in June. Only 20% of respondents said Russia is no threat to Georgia at all. The meme this week is a video of a priest and small congregation praying outside with an icon that depicts Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt under halos. We'll post a link to this video in the forum. Things to read also on the forum. Bidzina's article published in the Wall Street Journal entitled Progress Through Pragmatism in Georgia. This is an op-ed. Member of Parliament Zura Japaridze's open letter to the Prime Minister of Georgia, published in Tabula, which is in English, strongly criticizes Bidzina's handling of the Georgian economy. It's quite interesting. Article about Georgian winemaking practices published in the Financial Times, entitled Georgian Wines Older and Wiser by Andrew Jeffrey. Judy Dempsey's article, Kremlin Tries Charm to Counter EU, published in the New York Times. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's article titled 5 years After the War, South Caucasus Still Caught Between Russia and the West. And the New Republic's article about Subutex called Subu Must Die, How a Nation of Junkies Went Cold Turkey, which discusses how Georgia eliminated Subutex from the streets. Quite an interesting article by Graham Wood. All of this stuff will be in the forum. This week's English language movies, the Rustavelli Theater across from Parliament, are on the 10th of August, 4:45 p.m., The Conjuring, 14th of August at 7:45 p.m., Red 2, which is very strange thriller comedy movie with lots of people in it. Tickets are 10 Lottie and 50 Tentry. On the 5th of August, the Georgian Post declared an international contest to create the post box design. Participants can upload their work on the web page 99designs.com. Georgian Post will purchase the best design from the author. For more information, go to 99designs.com and look up the Georgian Post. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's TXTBUK. Our email is fieldpod@gmail.com. Post to the forum at www.fieldpod.com. And we'll finish with New Orleans' deeply beloved Ernie K. Doe and his 1962 hit, Popeye Joe.
I say you're looking good, you and your dad.